Amen. Good morning. Welcome home. We are so glad you're here today in Pittsburgh, or if you're watching in Columbus today, we're glad you're here as well. We want to say a happy Father's Day to all of our dads out here in Pittsburgh and in Columbus today. So in both locations, if you are a father today, we want to just honor you. Would you just stand up real quick and let's just honor all of our dads today. Let's give them a hand. Thank you so much today for your influence on our lives and how you make our lives and you better and enrich our lives. We also want to just maybe make mention this morning of someone who's thinking of their dad today. Maybe you've lost your dad here recently in Pittsburgh or in Columbus today, or you can't be with your dad today. We want to honor you. And we also want to honor those who maybe aren't a dad, but you're being dad to someone who doesn't have a dad. So if you're one of those two categories today, you're missing your dad or you're playing a dad, being a dad for someone who doesn't have a dad, would you stand in both locations as well today? And let's just give them a hand. If you're missing your dad today, yeah, yep, that's good. Let's honor those that, yeah, that's good. Amen. Amen. Well, we're glad to see you today, and as we mentioned just a minute ago, Father's Day is kind of it's a great day, but it's also a tough day for many different reasons, and so we just sympathize with that, but at the same time, we want to celebrate our dads today. We're in a series called Responsibility, and we've been saying that what you do next is all that matters. In fact, we gave this definition of responsibility, and it just simply says, your response after something happens. Say that with me. Your response after something happens. Yeah, lots of different things can happen to us in our lives. For example, maybe our response is related to the status quo changing, or someone says something offensive to us, or when nothing goes according to plan, or someone else fails, or we don't get our way. There's lots of different ways that our response sometimes cannot be the best because something has happened to us. We all have a responsibility at times, and all of us at times get this right, and all of us at times, whether we want to admit it or not, get it wrong. We need to say something and we don't say it. We need to do something and we don't do it. We need to hold our tongue and we don't. We need to be there when we should. That should be our response, and we aren't. And for those of us who don't respond the way that we're supposed to, or for those of us who are kind of, you know, having the ripple effect of someone else's response, we need to remember that what has happened, God cares about what happened to you, but He cares more about how you respond to what happened to you. We've been saying this over the series. God cares about what happened to you. He cares about what your uncle did. He cares about what your husband said. He cares about what your wife said. He cares about what your boss said or someone did or whatever that is. And sometimes our feelings are justified in those things. But He cares more about how we respond to what happened to us. That's what we've been saying over this series. And this morning, we're going to talk about comfort zone. Right? Comfort zone creates a tension for us because our comfort zone is where we like to thrive at. So the question we're going to be asking today is, how do you respond when God asks you to step out of your comfort zone? How do you respond, Pittsburgh? How do you respond, Columbus, when God asks you to step out of your comfort zone? Now, sometimes we think of this in big ways, like God's calling us to be a missionary in China, or He's calling us to switch jobs. But how do you respond when God calls you out of your comfort zone of pride, and He calls you to humble yourself and say those words that your comfort zone doesn't want to say, like, I'm sorry? How do you respond when God calls you out of your comfort zone in a way that you really don't want to get out of your comfort zone? Like maybe be a speaker or to say something to someone or to confront someone in a way that you really don't want to. Or how do you respond getting out of your comfort zone when teenagers dare you to climb up a 40-foot cliff and jump off of it? That's what happened to me several years ago when I was a youth pastor. Our kids just got back from camp. Our teenagers just got back from camp, and they had a great week. And so we want to say thank you to all those that helped make that possible. And there'll be more campers going this next week, beginning on Tuesday. But several years ago, when I was a youth pastor at camp, one of the first years that they had it at this place called Fun in the Sun, there's a 40-foot cliff. And they said, hey, if you'd like to jump off of it, you can sign up to go out there. And adults, we had an adult meeting ahead of time. If you would like to jump off of it too, you can jump off of it. And I just said to myself, yeah, I won't be doing that. So the first day, I just stay away. Second day, third day. But close to the end of the week, the students are like, hey, Pastor Kyle, why don't you do it? And I said, well, I could do it if I want to. I mean, it's out of my comfort zone, but I could do it. Well, why don't you? Well, maybe I will do it. Man, that was dumb. So I get out on that boat. We get out to the cliff. We go up to the top of the cliff. And you know, one by one, these 13-year-old kids and these 14-year-old kids are jumping off this 40-foot cliff. Now, I thought I stood up there for about 10 or 15 minutes before I jumped off the cliff, because I did jump. But one of the students took, you know, kept track of it. Instead of it being 10 or 15 minutes, they said it was 49 minutes. Yeah. And what was so funny was, is there was two things that made me jump. One was the guy who was on top of the cliff said, dude, we got to leave, man. And then, but really what made me jump more than all of that was that same guy that said that just a few minutes earlier, he finally said to me, it was just this moment of, you know, clarity. He said, hey, if you're waiting for that feeling of fear to leave, to jump, it's not going to leave. So I'm standing there on this cliff, right? I'm standing there, and he says that to me, and I'm like, yeah, it's not going to leave. So I just jumped off the cliff, and I went down in a seated position, and I'll just leave the rest to you, okay? But, you know, out of our comfort zone is a tough thing, right? All of us, God calls us to get out of our comfort zone at times, and yet for a lot of us, that's really hard to do. See, here's why this is important today. Comfort zones are at the top of our priority list most of the time, but they're not at the top of God's priority list. Let me just say that again. Comfort zones are usually at the top of our priority list, but they aren't at the top of God's priority list. Let's read that together. Comfort zones might be at the top of our priority list, but they aren't at the top of God's priority list. See, God's number one priority for our lives is not our comfort, as much as you and I would like to believe that it is. His number one priority is not that you always feel safe, that you always feel supported, that you always have people around you encouraging you, that you're always in a situation where you're working within your strengths and gifts just how you would like it to be. That's not his top priority. His top priority is to mold you and me and the people that we're trying to reach more and more into his image. And a lot of times, it takes us out of our comfort zone for that to happen. In fact, the Bible is littered with people that God used. And every single one of those people that God used and God called, right before he used them, he called them out of their comfort zone. One of those people in Scripture that some of us might be familiar with is this man named Moses. You see, Moses was this guy that God was calling out of his comfort zone. Have you ever, maybe it's a child or a grandchild or someone you know, maybe you're a coach or a teacher, and you see a lot of, you know, promise in a student, and you begin as that coach or that parent or that teacher or whoever that is, you look at this kid and you say, man, there is all kinds of potential in this kid, but for whatever reason, the kid, the student, your child, your grandchild, whoever it is, they don't see it the way you do. You know, and a lot of times it's maybe lack of self-esteem or they've had something traumatic happen in their life. And so as a result of that, you know, they can't see the bigger picture because all they can see is this horror picture in their life. Or they can't see the bigger picture because someone told them their life was about some other picture. Moses was kind of a shepherd's pie of that stuff. Moses was a guy who actually has quite a past, but what takes place is this guy named Moses finds himself in exile in a land called Midian, And the reason he's in exile is he's running from this guy named Pharaoh because Moses had killed an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew slave. And Moses was sticking up for his people, and so he ends up killing this, you know, this Egyptian, and he ends up running because he knows Pharaoh's going to arrest him. And so he finds himself on the backside of this desert one day, tending his father-in-law's sheep in exile with a low self-esteem and a past. Some of us have those things, don't we? Some of us as dads, we have a past. God's calling us to lead, but we know who we are. We know where we've been. And we don't believe in ourselves, and it's hard for us to lead the way God wants us to lead because of our past. So despite Moses' situation, despite what he's done, he's in the desert, in the wilderness. It's amazing sometimes how God will find us in the wilderness. See, there's no place we can go that God can't find us. Doesn't matter what kind of wilderness you're in today, dads, moms, kids, whoever. It doesn't matter what kind of situation you find yourself in. It doesn't matter if you're in a crack house. It doesn't matter if you're on the street. It doesn't matter where you're at. When God finds you, he finds you. And Moses is in this wilderness with his past and his low self-esteem and not believing in himself. And God sees something different in him. And God sees something different in every one of us when we don't see ourselves the way that he sees us. So he's doing his normal thing. Now, I don't know about you. I grew up on a farm, but I haven't seen too many bushes or trees turn into fire. But in this story, that's what takes place. They're in this desert. There's a bush, and it catches on fire. I don't know about you, but have you ever wondered why people stare at a bonfire? They'll just sit there and stare at it. There's just something about a fire that just draws us. I bet you it didn't take Moses very long when he sees that fire for it to get his attention. I know I didn't like that. I know I didn't throw any gas or diesel on that thing, and it's on fire. And if you know this story, God appears to Moses through this burning bush. The presence of God is there, and it's there so much that God tells him, hey, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Moses still has a low self-esteem. He still has a past, and God's presence is still there. And he begins to tell Moses, I'm calling you out. See, the reason I'm calling you is because there's a bunch of Israelites in Egypt who are enslaved. And I have heard their cry. And their prayers have been answered. And the answers to their prayers are you. And Moses is like, nope, not me. And God says, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. Now, before we get any farther in this story, for those of us who are really familiar with it, and for those of us who haven't heard the story, there's some things we can take away from this before we get any farther. You see, God comes to Moses in the middle of his exile and in the middle of his low point. And that tells us something about God. And it tells us something about us today as dads on Father's Day. See, having a past doesn't disqualify you from leading, but being defined by your past does. Come on. Having a past, if you're in here today, dad or mom or whoever today, or if you're in here today bitter at someone who did you wrong, all of us today. Columbus, having a past doesn't disqualify you from leading, but being defined by your past does. So this brings up the question, how are you responding today about what happened yesterday so that it doesn't impact tomorrow? That was a mouthful. Let me ask that again today for all of us here. How are you responding today about what happened yesterday so that it doesn't impact tomorrow? Let's ask that question together. Let's say it with me. How are you responding today about what happened yesterday so that it doesn't impact tomorrow. See, we don't have to go backwards. And when God cleans us up and we begin a relationship with Him and we begin to say, God, I'm yours, whatever you want for my life, He begins to take us on this journey. But see, what happens is a lot of times Satan whispers in our ears, or we whisper in our ears, or the person from our past, come on, whispers in our ears, you're not a good mom. You're not a good dad. Remember what you did? Remember how you've been? And we just get enslaved to our past the way the Egyptian or the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. See, what happened in your past doesn't have to define your present or even determine your future. What happened in your past, it doesn't have to define your present or even determine your future. And if you said amen out loud or you believe that in your heart, that's good. But the reality is, we don't always live like that. We believe it. We even believe it for other people. In fact, if we have kids today, there is nothing more we would love for our grown kids or someone we care about that has a past. There's nothing more we'd rather them do than to believe what's on that screen. Why don't we believe it for us? If you're feeling bad this morning, like, yeah, I know, you're not alone. Moses was there too. See, God began to speak to Moses, and Moses starts making excuse after excuse after excuse, the same way that we do. See, we can make excuses or we can make ourselves available. We can make excuses to God or we can just make ourselves available. Have you ever not had time to explain something to someone and you know that what the decision you made is right and there's been a lot of talk about it and, you know, it's the result of something, of lots and lots of thinking and discussion and you come to this result and you don't have enough time to explain it to somebody and somebody says, why are we doing this? And they start telling you why and it's like, I don't have the time to unpack this for you, but I'm just telling you it's the right thing. And see, the God of the universe, when He calls you out, He's thought it through. He's not got it wrong. God doesn't get it wrong. Did you know that? God doesn't get it wrong. I'm sorry, God, you messed up. I'm sorry. I think your heart's in the right place. You got it right. I agree with you. I was there. That's why I killed that, you know, that Egyptian, is because they're enslaved. Those Hebrews are enslaved. You are correct, God. You are right. They need delivered. But God, I'm not trying to question you or anything, but I won't call it a mistake, but I think you misplaced who you're pointing at, because it's not me. And He gives him his first excuse. Moses essentially says, I'm inadequate. I'm going to paraphrase these excuses. You can read the scripture there on the screen if you'd like to look it up yourself. He basically says, I'm inadequate. You got this wrong. You're looking for somebody qualified. If I were to submit a resume, I'm not qualified. You're asking me to be fatherly to the fatherless? I've never been a dad before. You're not picking me. You're asking me to step back in and be dad after I've not been a dad for however many years? I'm inadequate. My ex-wife is going to tell me that, and she doesn't want me around, and she's got the kids turned against me. I'm inadequate. Why are you calling me to step in? I know, I agree with you. Those kids need a dad, but I messed my shot up. I'm inadequate. And Moses does this with God, and God says, essentially, I got your back. I'm with you. And He responds to him. And you would think in this moment that would end it for Moses. But Moses is much like a lot of us. He keeps coming up with these excuses. Listen, not only am I not adequate, but I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I have no clue where to get started. See, I'm trying to explain to you, Lord, I believe that these Egyptians are enslaved. I agree with your principle. You just picked the wrong guy. Have you ever felt that way before? I say this to God every once in a while as a pastor. You picked me? I don't know what to do. And God again responds, I'm with you. I got you covered. But Moses persists. See, not only am I inadequate, not only do I not know what to do, but people aren't going to listen to me. Why would they listen to me? I went to high school with them. They know me. They know my past. Why would my wife listen to me? She knows my past. Why would my kids listen to me? People won't listen to me. And God says, who do you think puts the words in your mouth, genius? I'm not good with words. I'm not good at speaking. God again explains to him that he's going to be with him. And finally, at this point, Moses is out of excuses the same way that we are at times. And this is what happens when we get to this place. This is really good. When we get to this place where we've ran out of excuses, we come to this intersection where we can't run anymore. God has us cornered. And we do one of two things. We give in or we run away from God completely. And Moses says, send someone else. I'm not willing. When God, have you ever had a phone number where they'll call you, you know it's a telemarketer or something, and you just don't pick it up? You know? Someone's calling you, and you know what the conversation's going to be about, or it's a telemarketer, it's someone, and you just don't answer the phone because you know what it's going to be about, and they just keep calling back. See, when God calls your number, he's not going to quit calling you. He's going to keep calling back. And when Moses says, I'm not willing, like he's expecting God to admit that he picked the wrong person. God doesn't. He says, okay, what about Aaron, your brother? How about him? He can speak for you. And Scripture says that Moses finally says yes. And he goes back to Egypt, and he, through a long course of events that you can read about, he frees the people from being enslaved. But it makes me think today, at what point do we stop making excuses and just become who God created us to be? I mean, at what point do we stop making excuses for our past or for what happened or why we can't do what we're supposed to do or why we can't be there for our kids on the weekend when we said we're going to be or why we can't come alongside someone who needs encouragement? Today, I just want us to be reminded that God doesn't call qualified people. He qualifies called people. God doesn't call qualified people. If you don't feel qualified today, that's a good sign. If you think you've got what it takes, that's not a good sign. We can do nothing apart from God. Someone here today, whether it's in Columbus or here in Pittsburgh, needs to be reminded that you are doing the math and you're looking at your qualifications and you're saying you don't measure up. And this morning, God wants to remind us that he's the one who does the qualifying. What's interesting is in this same story that when God calls Aaron, he calls Aaron to be Moses' mouthpiece, to be Moses' support, to be the person that Moses can depend on. And so Moses goes back to the people, and as he goes back to the people, Aaron goes with him, and Aaron supports his leadership and is his mouthpiece the way that God intended. And it made me think sometimes in our lives that every one of us are called to be someone's Moses and someone's Aaron. See, Moses was the one that was called to deliver. Moses was the one called to rescue. Moses was the one called to bring hope. And Aaron was called to support the one who was going to deliver, the one that was going to rescue, and the one that was going to bring hope. Are you being Moses to someone? Rescuing, delivering? And are you being Aaron to someone who is doing the rescuing and the delivering? Are you responding to God's call to lead people and also support those who lead? See, if you aren't willing to be someone's Aaron, don't expect to be anyone's Moses. Andy Reid, who's the head coach of the Chiefs, he started out in football as somebody who got water for the other coaches. He didn't get to become head coach because he just decided he wanted to be head coach. And some of us at times, we have these big dreams and these plans because God's revealed something to us. And we assume that it means it should happen right now. And when it doesn't happen right now, we get mad and we get frustrated and we get upset with God. And God says, you need to be Aaron before you can be Moses. You need to support other people. And let me tell you this, even when you're Moses, you need to be Aaron. Silly little example, but around here, obviously, the role that I'm in is Moses, but God calls me to be Aaron. Our kids went to camp last week. Pastor Garrett is the kids' Moses. He's the leader. And he says, hey, Kyle, will you drive the people mover to camp and haul luggage? And I said, yeah. We got to be Aaron and we got to be Moses to people. Dads, just because you're Moses all the time and we expect people to fall in line and do what we say. He also calls us to be Aaron, to go into the kitchen every once in a while and help, or take the kids outside and give mom a break, or be someone else's Aaron in the community. Someone's leading in some way, and you come alongside them and pray for them, or hold them up, or support them. And then we have situations where we're waiting on Moses to say yes. And in the meantime, life's falling apart. See, sometimes God tells us to stop waiting on Moses and start praying for Aaron. Sometimes there are times where we have prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed for someone to step up and be Moses in a child's life. And we can continue to pray and to pray and to pray. But meanwhile, Johnny or Janie is growing up. And Grandpa decides to step in and be Aaron. Or a teacher or a coach or someone steps in and is Aaron. We never stop praying for those people in our life that don't have it together. But sometimes we're looking in the wrong direction because people are making choices and they're supposed to lead and they're supposed to rescue and they're supposed to protect and they're supposed to be there, but they're not there. And we continue to pray for them. But someone has to be Aaron. I watched our pastor, our former pastor here in Pittsburgh. Excuse me. I watched our former pastor here in Pittsburgh, Jim Sucrow, who was here for like 30-some years, be Aaron to a lot of kids whose Moses wasn't in the picture. Sometimes God calls us to step out and step up. There are all kinds of children and teenagers and people in our community that desperately need us dads and fatherly figures to step up and be an example and start being Aaron while we're waiting on Moses. You think of the foster care system. The foster care system's goal is to reunite the family. That's the goal. That's never not the goal. But in the meantime, while mom or dad or whoever else is trying to get it together, the foster care system steps in and is Aaron. Are you being Moses? Are you being Aaron? Now, having said that, in order to be your child's Moses, you can't be everyone else's Aaron. We have to find that balance. So there's some questions that we have to consider today in this message. Is God calling you to step out of your comfort zone and rescue someone like Moses did? Who's God put it on your heart to rescue? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your child's friend. Maybe it's someone you work with. Can I just challenge you a little bit? If I ask the question, who's God calling you to rescue, and you can't think of anyone? I'll say this carefully. If you can't think of anyone to rescue, you might not be looking at all the burning bushes around you. Because there are people out there who need hope and help. And as believers, we're called to rescue. We're called to deliver. Imagine being on the backside of the desert and there's a fire on a bush and we don't want to look at it because we know what that's going to mean. If we start walking with God and reading God's word, he will point those burning bushes to us. So is God calling you to step out of your comfort zone and rescue someone like Moses did? Is God calling you to step out of your comfort zone and support someone else who is stepping out like Aaron did? Not everybody's called to be a foster parent. Not everyone is called to raise someone's kids that aren't their own. Not everyone's called to move to Africa and be a missionary. But we can support all those people I just named through prayer. What do you do? What do you need? What can I do to help? How do you respond when God asks you to step out of your comfort zone? I'll tell you how I respond. I just let the preacher say whatever he wants, and then I get up and shake his hand and tell him it was a good message and walk out the door. I realize today that not everybody's willing to get out of their comfort zone, but I believe maybe if it's here in Pittsburgh or in Columbus, maybe there's one person today that this message is for. God has been challenging you to step out of your comfort zone. Maybe it's a dad. And you, just like Moses, just like we all do at times, you just keep making excuses why you can't. But what if you did like Isaiah did and you just simply said, here I am, send me. I want us to just think for a minute, just imagine. Imagine just, not even in the spiritual world, imagine if people decided not to get on the Mayflower because it was going to be risky and it was going to call them to get out of their comfort zone, and the pilgrims just decided, you know what, we're not going to go. Imagine when JFK decided that he thought it'd be a cool idea if we could land on the moon someday. Imagine if people just said, you know what, that's out of our comfort zone. We're not going to do that. Imagine if when Jesus, after Peter reconciled with him and he says, do you love me? And Jesus simply says, feed my sheep. And through that message, he tells Peter that he's going to die for the cause. Imagine if Peter said, you know what? That's out of my comfort zone. I'm not going to do it. Imagine where some of these students would be today if someone went out of their comfort zone and drove a school bus out and picked them up and brought them back to church. Imagine today if when we talked about Columbus and we said, you know, there's this God's calling us to step out of our comfort zone and start a church family over there. I mean, imagine if we'd have just said, you know what, that's out of our comfort zone. I mean, on and on and on and on, we could give scenarios. See, here's what we need to realize today, and then I'm done, okay? On the front side of God calling us out of our comfort zone, a lot of times all we see is fear. And the reason that we see fear is because we can't see what's on the backside. We can't see the church in Columbus a year and a half ago when we talked about it. We had to avoid the fear and step out in faith. We can't see when God calls us to the mission field in some way, how on the front side, how it's going to work out. But once we say yes, we can see the fruit that's on the backside. What if you just said, God, I trust you with the front side, and I'm called to it because of the backside? We just bow our heads and close our eyes in both locations today. I want to just give us an opportunity. What we do with the opportunity is up to us. It doesn't matter if you just walked into church for the first time today or you've been following God a long time. How is God calling you out of your comfort zone? Here's our three things we can do. We can make another excuse. We can say no. Or we can say yes. What's your answer going to be today? No, not right now, or yes? We'll give you just a minute today. Lord God, today I pray there would be some that would say yes. And I pray the power of this message would not be in how it was delivered, but by how everyone responded. I pray, Lord, that your power would permeate our hearts and our minds, and you would give us the strength to say yes, no matter how many times we've said no. Forgive us for our pasts. Help us to step up and be the men and the women you've called us to be. And we give you praise and glory and honor. With every head bowed and every eye closed in both locations, if you said yes to God in some little way or some big way as a testimony to him, would you just slip your hand up real quick? God, you see those hands, and we give you praise for that. In Jesus' powerful name, all God's people said, amen, amen. Let's stand together this morning and worship.